Right, welcome back. It's the Avid Investor Podcast with me, your host, Josh Adamek. Today, we're on episode 55, and I'm going to be talking about investing in our community. So I'm going to cover a little bit of business, how we invest and reinvest in the communities, why it's important to us, and then also going to talk about a few different organizations that I'm involved with on a nonprofit side, and tell you a little bit about those and why they're important to me and how you can get involved if you choose to do so, or, you know, you can do something similar on your own. So there's that. Let's roll. So before I get into it, I'm going to talk a little bit about the business side of things. So I, in previous episodes and plenty of times I've told you guys, what we do on the front end of the business, with the equity partnership. So, we operate under an equity model, to create and manage portfolios for, with private and institutional investors. What we invest in, and I talk about that plenty, what we invest in primarily is single family homes, existing single family homes for the long-term cash flow, scattered site, and as I said, existing single family homes in B-class neighborhoods. Why we focus on that, there's several reasons, but one, you know, B-class neighborhoods, safety, security. There's, regardless of market conditions, there's always a need for, you know, a $1,200 to $1,500 a month rental in and around Pittsburgh. So that's why we focus on the B-class neighborhoods, for one reason, one of many reasons we focus on the B-class neighborhoods. So what we do when it comes to investing in our communities and reinvesting in our communities, we're typically buying distressed properties. Some, you know, some are worse than others. Some are better than others. But, you know, we'll buy, you know, tax sale properties, sheriff sale properties, vacant, you know, boarded up, beat up houses, you know, from time to time. And then a lot of the homes that, you know, we buy are pretty close to turnkey. We like to call them grandma's house, you know, property that just needs a little bit of freshening up, cleaning up, you know, some safety and inspection items. So we'll reinvest in the communities by, you know, taking those, you know, distressed properties, turning them around, you know, putting folks in, putting families in the homes, you know, getting them back on the tax rolls, you know, and just, you know, making a, you know, taking a, you know, what can be an eyesore to the community and a problem property to the community. We buy a lot of, we also buy a lot of homes, from, you know, older burned out landlords where the properties may have been mismanaged and, you know, a nuisance to the neighbors in the community. So we tend to take the properties, turning them around, you know, help, reinvest in the community in that way, in that manner. However, what I feel is, more important and most important, of why we do this and the structure that we do as far as reinvesting in the communities is how we place our residents in the home. So we don't, with our single family homes, we don't just rent the homes. We offer all of our homes on a lease with an option to purchase program. So all of our residents in our single family homes have the option and the opportunity to purchase the home and become a homeowner. And I felt the need to talk about this today because we've seen an uptick this year in our residents that have been cashing out. You know, in the first month or two of the year, we've had a couple of residents exercising their option to purchase and becoming a homeowner. And it's really cool. It's really cool when you know, the residents come to the office. You see them working through the closing process, and anybody that's bought a home knows that, you know, it's a process. It's work. You know, for us real estate investors, you know, it's just another day in the office, you know, working through the closing process and getting to closing. And, you know, but for for, you know, homeowners. And when it's, when you're talking about, you know, buying a new home for you and your family and closing on, you know, maybe the first home and becoming maybe the first homeowner, you know, in your family, there's a lot of emotions attached and there's a lot of work to get to the closing table. And, you know, so all of our residents, in our single family homes, like I said, we offer, how the structure works is we lease the home to our residents. And then, every one of our residents has an option. They can purchase an option to, purchase the home at any time within, you know, a set period at a set price. So, folks that wouldn't otherwise qualify to become a homeowner, can benefit, from our program. Because most folks just need a little bit of time, you know, some banged up credit, some job history, other things that they need to work through, saving up some money for a down payment, you know, whatever the case may be. Our program gives folks the opportunity to own a home that wouldn't otherwise qualify. And again, these are, you know, what we call medium B-class neighborhoods, medium price points for the Pittsburgh market. You know, we're not in the super high end A neighborhoods. We're not down in, you know, the C and what is now called, you know, the D neighborhoods. We're, you know, right in the middle. B-class neighborhoods, regular neighborhoods where hardworking Pittsburgh families want to live. I mean, we call it grandma's house because that's where both of my grandparents owned homes in these types of neighborhoods. And it's where both of my parents were raised in these types of neighborhoods. And it's really, really cool to, you know, watch this program come full circle. You know, I've had many, many experiences where we get to the closing table and you know, these folks have worked so hard, you know, to get their stuff in order, you know, whether that be credit, job history, whatever, save up money for the down payment. They work through, you know, all the financing. They work through the closing process. And for us, you know, like I said, it's another day in the office when it comes to closing on the home. But for somebody that's never done it before and maybe never had family members or anyone, you know, friends that have gone through this process before, it can be a bit overwhelming. So when you get to the closing table and you know, they're finishing up the process and, you know, they already live in the home. So it's not like they're getting the keys for the first time, but they have that acceptance finally that they're a homeowner. It's just, it's an amazing, amazing thing to watch and experience. And, you know, we're super, super grateful, that we're able to be a part of this and offer this to our residents. And, you know, it's great. I mean, it works well. It works well for us, for our team, for our investment partners, and it works, you know, it's amazing, you know, opportunity and experience for the folks that, you know, live in our homes. And, you know, rather than somebody just being camped out there for 12 months till the lease is up and they find another property, I mean, our residents, you know, have the mindset that, you know, they can and, you know, potentially will own the home someday. So, you know, our residents, for the most part, take really good care of the properties, treat it as if it's their own home. You know, it's, and, you know, when we get to that point where they exercise their option and we move towards closing, it's just a really cool experience. So I just want to share that a little bit of details on, you know, what we do, you know, as far as Avid and Avid Management Group. You know, I talk more, like I said, I've talked more plenty of times on the front end, how we structure our investment partnerships, but, you know, when it comes to the back end, you know, in the exit, I just want to share a little bit more detail on the program itself. So that being said, you know, it's just cool. It's a great opportunity. You know, we got a good team here at the office and we get some really, really good residents, really special residents. And, you know, it's cool to see the program come full circle. So, that's one way that we reinvest in the communities. And with that, I mean, we're not tied to any one specific part of town. We're not like, you know, all hands on deck. Let's focus on this neighborhood. Let's change this neighborhood. We're all over the place. So our properties, you know, it's more so the type of property that we look for as opposed to, the neighborhood that it's in. You know, as long as it's, you know, what we determine to be, you know, a middle of the road median price point for the Pittsburgh market, you know, north, south, east, west, we're all over the place, you know, and everywhere in between. So, you know, we're not targeting one specific community. When I talk about investing in our communities, we're all over the place. But what we're doing is, you know, giving our residents the opportunity to, become homeowners. So when it comes to like, you know, changing an entire neighborhood, and investing in our communities, One company that always comes to mind that I definitely think you should check out if you're not already familiar with would be Joe Calloway and RE360. Just give a quick cliff notes on that, and I think Joe would be okay with me talking about their company. But, you know, I've known Joe for 15, 20, maybe close to 20 years now. We both started in real estate around the same time, you know, and when I was heading in one direction with, you know, the flips and the new builds and the infill new construction and the land deals, Joe was like, just, you know, honing in and laser focused on one market and one specific area. And that's primarily what they call the Hilltop, Allentown. So, years ago, I think, you know, around the time we both started in the real estate, Joe was involved in commercial, real estate, and then got into residential. He was in the south side, worked his way up to the south side slopes, and then up into the Hilltop, and realized that there was this entire community up in the Hilltop that was up in Allentown, the Hilltop, that was like, location wise, you can't be beat. However, it was like, you know, kind of cut off from city services. The business district was in distress. So they went up there, they took big risk. You know, what many would perceive to be big risk. And they went up and just started buying all the homes that they could get their hands on. And, you know, talking about hundreds and hundreds of homes in the Hilltop and the backside of Mount Washington and that general area. And what they were doing is they were buying crappy homes in a crappy area, and they were doing nicer remodels and marketing to the crowd from the south side. So if you look at you know, the south side flats, let's just say it's $3,000 a month to rent a house, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. You go up into the slopes, it might be, you know, $2,200 to $2,400 a month. Well, if you go up into Allentown, you know, in the ghetto, it might be, you know, $600 or $800 a month. Well, what they were doing is they were taking these, you know, crappy Section 8 rentals and beat up houses, and they were doing nicer remodels and marketing to the south side crowd. It's like, well, you're living here for $3,000 a month, you're living here for, you know, $2,500 a month. Why don't you come one neighborhood up to the Hilltop? You're still close to everything, and you know, you can live here for $1,800 a month. And I don't know those exact numbers, but, you know, that's probably pretty close. So they were revitalizing the neighborhood through renovations, and bringing, you know, a new crowd, the south side crowd, up to the Hilltop. But also too, they were, you know, RE360 was, you know, buying up the business district, Warrington Avenue. If you're familiar, Ala Familia is there. And for the longest time, that was the only decent restaurant or anything that was on Warrington Avenue. So RE360, they started, buying up the business district, and credit to Joe and the crew, they were very, very selective on, you know, which businesses they would, you know, put into the storefronts and the commercial buildings there. So they were targeting, you know, small business owners, mom and pop, delis, coffee shops, barbers, you know, small business, entrepreneurial type businesses. So they, you know, they're filling Warrington Avenue with that and trying to, revitalize the whole neighborhood, turn it into, you know, more of a walkable community with businesses that folks want to go to, and, you know, not having, you know, Dollar Generals and check cashing places in there. So it's really cool to watch that. In addition to that, I mean, they're constantly doing community cleanup projects, you know, painting murals on the side of their buildings, just really investing and reinvesting in the communities. They do a lot of community events at their big warehouse up there, you know, just different pop-up events, different things for the community there. Joe, you know, as long as I've known him, he's been investing and reinvesting in the youth programs and other missions and organizations up on the hilltop there and around the area. So when it comes to investing in one, you know, honing in and being, you know, neighborhood specific, check out RE360. They've done some really, really cool things. So just shout out to Joe Calloway and the RE360 crew. So that's that, you know, that, and that's pretty much it. You know, what I wanted to cover as far as the business and the reinvesting, investing in the communities and investing, you know, investing and reinvesting in the communities through business, through business ventures, I should say. The other things, a couple of things I wanted to talk about is how we invest in and reinvest in our communities through nonprofit and philanthropic, missions and groups that I'm involved with. So first off, what comes to mind is group I've been involved with for several years now. It's called 100 Plus Men Who Care Pittsburgh. If you're not familiar with it, go check it out. It's a really, really cool organization. And the mission or you know, the idea there is it's the power in numbers. So 100 Plus Men Who Care Pittsburgh. They meet four times a year at the RLA Learning Center. I don't remember what day it is. If you want the details, go to the website. Just Google 100 Plus Men Who Care Pittsburgh. You'll find the website. I'd have to look it up to share it with you. I could probably drop it in the comments here too. But the organization was founded by Kirk Vogel and Rick Malick a few years back. Total fundraiser, 100% goes to the mission. Like, this organization, they don't even have a bank account. Like, there's nobody on payroll. You know, it's just the power of numbers, and it's a group of guys that get together to support a mission. So how it works is the organization meets four times a year. You want to be a member, if you want to be a member of the group, you just have to make a commitment, you know, verbal. I don't think there's any like contract or anything like that, but you just have to commit that you're going to donate to the chosen charity four times per year. And it's a minimum contribution of $100 per person. And what it is at the quarterly meeting, start with some networking, you know, they get some pizza, some food, you know, some drinks, for half hour, 45 minutes or so. You can hang around, network. And then when the actual, meeting starts, there's three charities that are chosen at the meeting before. So when you come to the meeting, you can drop your name in the hat. You write your name down, and any charity, Pittsburgh-based charity that you would want to talk on and present on. So you write that down, drop your name in the hat. If your name's chosen, along with two other people, you present at the next meeting, at the following quarterly meeting. So when you get to these meetings, there's three charities that are being presented by members in the organization there. Everybody listens. And everybody in the room votes on who they think the chosen charity should be. And whoever wins out of those three presenters, everybody in the room and everybody in the organization has agreed to donate at least $100 to that charity. And it goes direct to the charity. It doesn't go to 100 Plus Men Who Care. Like I said, there's no overhead. There's no payroll. It's whatever, every dollar that is raised goes directly to the charity. So, you know, even so much so when we do, you know, the drinks and the room and the food and all that, one of the members from every meeting volunteers to pay for that for the following meeting. So there's no overhead. It's all membership driven, which is really cool. So if your charity is chosen, then you know, everybody in the group has agreed to donate a minimum of $100. So, which, you know, for most people to donate, you know, write a check for $100, you know, is not a big deal. And it's something that most all of us do. Most everyone does, you know, at least once a year or whatever, or from time to time, is, you know, make a donation to a charity. So, you know, $100 for most people is not a big deal, you know, when it's for a good cause. However, when you rally up, you know, 80, 90, you know, 100 plus people, and all of those people are donating $100, and then you end up with, and that's a minimum of $100. Many of the members donate a couple $100, $500, $1,000 or more, you know, each quarter. So when you talk, start talking the power in numbers, and you get, you know, 80, 90, 100 plus guys that, you know, have all donated at least $100, and you're raising, you know, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 for a local Pittsburgh based charity, that makes a huge, huge impact, huge impact. So you want to talk about reinvesting and investing in the communities, that right there is, you know, one of the top ways in my opinion. So, very little time commitment from anyone, very little financial commitment from any one individual. However, when you talk about the power of numbers and rallying a group of people together to make a huge impact, it's, you know, 100 plus Men Who Care is an amazing organization and an amazing opportunity, for anyone, that would like to be involved, any of the guys that, that would like to be involved. And I know I get beat up on this, you know, from time to time. Yes, there is a group, 100 plus Women Who Care Pittsburgh. I don't know much about it. I assume they're still around. I think they're out of Squirrel Hill. If you just start Googling Squirrel Hill or somewhere out east, but if you just start Googling or looking around or whatever, you can find a similar organization to be involved with. So just so happens that, you know, 100 plus Men Who Care Pittsburgh is out of the north, north area of Pittsburgh, a little bit further north out of Cranberry, and, you know, started Walnut Grill, grew, needed a bigger room, and now we're at the RLA Learning Center. So that's an amazing organization, amazing opportunity, to be involved with. If you'd like a chance, you know, to give back and be a part of something greater, come on, come check it out. The next meeting, it's always on a Thursday evening, but just go to the website, check it out, or message me and I'll send you some details. I'll figure out when the next meeting is and shoot it over to you. But it's usually an evening, like a 6 or 6:30 till 7:30, 8 o'clock. Like I said, hour and a half tops, four times a year, make a huge, huge impact on Pittsburgh based charities. And there's some really, really cool organizations that, that are presented, from the members, and it's good to learn about it. And, all the members in the group have the opportunity to donate to all three, organizations that were presented, and not just the winner. You don't have to donate to just the winner. It's totally your choice, your call. But that's that. You know, if you guys want to be involved, check it out, hit me up and I'll get you some details. The other thing that I wanted to talk about when it comes to, investing in our communities and reinvesting in our communities is an organization that, that I'm heavily involved with and very, very passionate about. It is Steel City Impact. So it's a youth program, right here in Pittsburgh. I co-founded the program back in 2001, I believe it was, coming you know, out of COVID. So co-founded the program with my very, very close friends, Emery Bassman from Armina Stone and Simon Arias from the Arias organization. You know, we came together. It's funny, for years, Simon had a similar organization, Inspiring Minds, out of Youngstown, Ohio, which is his hometown. So Simon, quick backstory on that. Simon grew up ghetto poor, in a really, really rough neighborhood, running with the wrong people, doing the wrong stuff. And, you know, he, had the opportunity to go play college, baseball, college ball. And I believe that's right. The time he was able to turn his life around. And, he got involved with the right people in college, had an opportunity coming out of college to work for an insurance company. Fast forward, I think it was like, you know, it's probably 17, 18 years later now. You know, Simon has a very, very, very large, insurance company, where they have multiple offices in multiple states and hundreds of agents, working for the organization. So, this was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, when he was really growing his business and seeing some success, he started to, started a youth program in his hometown to, you know, show kids that there's, you know, there's guys just like him that, you know, went to school that grew up where he did, that have the opportunity to, you know, make the right decisions and not get involved with the wrong people doing the wrong things. So he started the youth program, Inspiring Minds. And as his friend, you know, we supported the organization for many, many years. And, you know, kept saying like, Simon, we got to bring this to Pittsburgh. We got to bring this to Pittsburgh. And he's like, yeah. Cause he knew how much work it was. And then, one night we're all out to dinner, with, you know, the guys and our wives and everything. And, you know, my wife, it came up, the youth program came up, and, my wife said, you know, Simon, if you ever want to do that in Pittsburgh, you guys should go over to, Stowe Rock, Stowe Township. And like, you know, he looked at my wife and he's like, really? You know? And that's the same thing I was thinking, because I was involved in that community and I, you know, through my business, and I knew the challenges there. And, you know, little did I know. So, well, let me first off start by saying this. This was on a Saturday, I think. And, you know, Sunday morning, it was like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning or something. That's when we usually communicate before the days get crazy. Simon texts me, says, Are you for real? Are you in? Are you serious? Something like that. I think it was, are you serious? I'm like, serious about what? He said, the youth program. I said, yeah, I'm serious. I've been telling you for years. Let's do it. Right. And, he says, all right. So that kind of kicked off, Steel City Impact. So, little did we know that at the time that, you know, Simon was already supporting the school and the community down there. Mutual friend of ours was the principal, that was the high school principal. And, you know, my plans were, I never really mentioned this to Simon, but, you know, I always thought that that would be a good place to start the youth program. Why? Stowe Rocks High School is, Stowe Rocks High School is comprised of two different communities, Stowe Township and McKees Rocks. You take those areas, you know, McKees Rocks, Stowe Township, highest crime rate per capita in our area. There's three housing projects in 1.5 square miles. And it's so, you know, it's very, very sad to see, you know, the amount of crime, that goes on down there. I mean, there's kids shooting at each other in the streets. I mean, when I say kids, they're kids. And you know, the school, we have a presence full-time in the school down there now. The school is on lockdown on a regular basis for violent crimes, both in and out of the school. Something happens in the community right on the street and they put the school on lockdown, rightfully so. You know, some fight breaks out in the school. It's like school's on lockdown for years, the teachers and the staff and the faculty at the school there, they're on crowd control, you know, more than they're, you know, able and trying to teach the kids. It's like, let's just try to keep the peace, keep some sort of peace and order here. I mean, it's bad. It's, you know, it was rough. So we started the program back in 21, and that was coming out of COVID, coming through and out of COVID. And when we put the plan together, you know, we were planning to start with a, you know, hire full staff, serve 50, 60, 100 kids or something like that our first year. And we had big, big plans. And then, you know, coming out of COVID, it's like the school's remote, the school's shut down, the school's this, the school's that. And like, there was nothing consistent that like we felt like we could hire a full staff. And you know, what happens if we hire a full staff and then the school shut down and we got nowhere to serve these kids, right? So, you know, with all these variables and these question marks, we're like, you know, we didn't want to just stop and wait and not serve these kids. So what we did is, as the board, we rallied up a board of directors. We got, at the time, I think we had 10 board members, and we're still relatively close to that number. All the board members are volunteers. Nobody gets paid. It's actually quite the opposite. Most of the board members are our highest contributors to the organization and the mission. And you know, what we did is we rallied up the board members. We went to the school and we said, hey, give us like 10 kids that can benefit from what we're trying to do. And they did that. And what we did is we started more of like a mentorship type program where we took turns as the board of directors. We'd go down to the school, and, you know, after school, we'd spend some time with the kids going over some basics, you know, basic math, finances, you know, communication skills, life skills, talking about, you know, different types of bank accounts, you know, income, expenses, you know, just basic life skills. And we talk about this stuff. And then, you know, manners and respect, you know, stand up when you shake somebody's hand, look them in the eye, firm handshakes, things like that. Talk about, like, you know, paying bills and gratuity and, you know, just basic life skills that aren't taught in school. And then, you know, we would take the kids out for an experience. We'd, you know, take them to a nice dinner. We'd take them to the aviary. I think we went one time, the Heinz History Center. We organized a day where, you know, we went and visited different job sites and about a half a dozen different businesses and, you know, just exposed the kids to different things. And, you know, just it was really, really cool because we probably did that for about 6 months, maybe close to a year, where we were just spending time with these kids and really getting to know them and really getting to know, you know, the struggles that they faced and you know, things, the challenges that were going on, you know, with them and their communities and things like that. And then, you know, fast forward, I think a year and a half in, a little bit of trial and error, but we were able to hire an executive director. We went through a couple, but we were blessed and we found an amazing executive director that we have now, Tyra Grant. Tyra took the bull by the horns and ran with it. I mean, you know, she's just an absolute beast with the program and an angel to us. You know, so she took the program and the mission and ran with it. She, you know, recruited a whole team, you know, that we needed. And fast forward, you know, we now have, I think, about 40 kids, give or take, in the program, which, you know, when you're talking the whole high school as a whole has less than 500 kids. I mean, that's a rather large percentage of the high school. So we got about 40 kids in the program. Beginning of last year, we started the program. We started the after school program with one student on honor roll. Fast forward, I think as of right now, our most recent numbers, we have 32 students on honor roll and 35 or 38 students that are meeting our minimum standards. So when you talk about like investing in our communities and changing, possibly changing the trajectory of a community, it all starts with our youth and our kids. And you know, while we won't be able to get in there and, you know, save everybody, you know, if we can make an impact, you know, regardless of how big it is, if we can save one kid, if we can change one kid's life, it's all worth it. However, you know, thanks to Tyra, thanks to the board of directors, thanks to the team, all of our supporters, all of our donors that come to every event that we do, you know, we're able to impact far more than that. And we're doing some really, really cool things with the program at Steel City Impact. And I guess I should say, with the program itself, we do an after school program, runs from like 3 to 6 And then, you know, we do a 6-week summer camp and it's all incentive based and the kids earn different things, through the bag, behavior, attendance, grades. And, they keep up good grades. We take them to the mall around Christmas time and they got a couple hundred bucks to spend on shoes, clothes, whatever. We just did a trip to DC where the kids on honor roll earn a trip to DC where they go, on a college tour, a tour of the Black History Museum out there and just some different experiences. There's different events over the summer. I think when we end the summer camp, I think it is, did a trip to Kalahari and that was just a fun trip. You know, so most of our trips and our incentive trips are educational. There's a college trip or some sort of educational piece there, but every once in a while we just go and have fun with the kids. I do a field trip every month in the summer, you know, maybe the wave pool or somewhere else. They've done rock climbing. They went horseback riding, just all these different experiences, which is really, really cool. So, in a nutshell, I mean, I can go on and on and on about the youth program and Steel City Impact and what we do. but it's, you know, in summary, I mean, that's how we've honed in and just, you know, made a huge, huge impact in that school. And, you know, we continue to grow the program, and have a mission and vision to make a much, much greater impact in the school and in that community. And at some point branch out into other schools and other communities. But, right now we're focused on Stow Rocks and Stow Rocks High School there. And that's that. I mean, and as far as that goes, you know, and reinvesting and investing in the communities. You know, like I said, we are super, super grateful, for all of our supporters, all of our donors. You know, like I said, the board of directors is very, very active. But we do a couple of fundraisers, per year. We did a big Fall Fest event, this past October. Previous years, we've done a gala down at the casino, but the Fall Fest, I mean, that was amazing, amazing event. It was really cool. First time we did it out in a field, up in, Mars, you know, different live music, different vendors, you know, some campfires, of course some drinks, some food, all kind of good stuff. But, that was a cool event. We've done several cigar events down at Burn by Rocky Patel, VIP celebrity, cigar events, where we have some special guests, that join us. And, coming up here in May, I think it's May 12th, we have our very first, golf outing to support the youth program. So that's on a Monday. I think it's May 12th, up at Treesdale. If you want to attend, you want to check it out, just drop me a message. I'll get you some info, but that should be a really, really fun day, you know, to support the youth program. If you'd like to support the mission, you know, be a part of investing in our communities, come check it out. I mean, come check it out, hit me up for the details. You can come golf as a single, bring a foursome, you know, there's sponsorship opportunities for the holes, for the different things that we're doing. I think LW Automotive has even committed to, giving away a car, for a hole in one there. So, hone up, practice your golf skills, see if you can land a hole in one and walk away with a car. Nonetheless, we have some cool, we always have some fun guests, some special guests, that come to these events. We have a great crowd. So if you guys can join that, if you want to help us to, you know, invest and reinvest in our communities, that'd be a great way to do it. But that's that. I mean, that's what we do. If you guys are doing something different, to invest or reinvest in the communities, love to hear about it. So hit me up, send me a message, drop me a DM, whatever. Let me know what you think. If, like I said, I'm going to keep pumping these out of the podcast. Still working on setting up the studio here in the other room, but I think I got everything I need. We just got to finish putting it together. And then once that's set up, I got a lineup of guests that I'm going to invite in, and have on the podcast here. But, you know, here nor there, now or whenever, you know, if you got something you want me to cover, just hit me up, let me know, drop a comment, shoot me a DM. I'd love to hear from you guys. And as always, you know, just thank you so much for the support. So that's it for today. I appreciate you guys listening, and on to the next. Have a great day.